And these middlemen play an important role. I just talked about commission agent. Now, these agents get commission. Like for an example, if you buy a property, broker comes into play. So, you see, the builder is a manufacturer. You, a consumer, you want to buy that, broker is in between. Now, the broker does not buy the house and then sells it to you, right? He doesn't do that. He is in between. He does not invest on that stock. So, a broker is an agent who does not have direct physical possession of the goods. He does not invest on the stock. But he deals. But he represents either the buyer or they may even represent the seller to the builder and negotiate purchases or sale for his principal and in between get the commission of that sale. Look at a real estate broker. Same way, dear, in textiles also there are brokers, and in just this business which I just spoke about with the Ranbaxy example, there also there are agents. We could call them commission agents. Now, individuals, firms or even companies are organized to buy or sell commodities. Yes, sir. That's as a buying or a selling agent for producer or the manufacturer. So these are commission agents which we sell. Sole selling agency. What is sole selling agency? An established firms of good reputation operating in each area may be appointed as a sole agent or a distributor exclusively for that locality. I spoke about exclusive distribution, and for exclusive distribution, you probably may give one particular sole agency that you go and sell. Usually sales agency involves exclusive selling rights for a territory. Now, this will prevent competition among agents in that geographical area. So you give them a particular geographical area and you say this is your geographical area, and what you need to do is these are your geographical areas, may whoever clients are there are your clients. You will be the sole selling agent for this area and please go and develop this area. So sole selling agency is also given. Dear friends, every company continuously evaluates the performance of these marketing intermediaries. Marketing intermediaries or middlemen in the distribution network, as we have seen, are very crucial and sometimes indispensable because they perform very specialized marketing functions. And what do? Now, so obviously they buy the product. Then they sell the product across. When they buy and sell, they transport the goods, in case it's physical goods, across. They store the goods. You require a warehouse. They grade the goods. They take the goods. They sort the goods. They finance for those goods. They take the risk because you don't know when they will sell and how much of that they will sell, how soon. And therefore, dear, these are various things which they do, and we need to continuously evaluate each and every intermediaries on what they are doing. Let's look at a wholesaler, which is one of the major intermediaries in a channel. Wholesalers could be individuals or business firms who will sell products to be used primarily for resale, or they could directly supply it to industrial users. Dear friends, what are the typical services that these people do? Wholesaler offers typical services as middlemen between the producer and the consumer. And what do they do, dear? Very simple. They maintain their own sales force who go and sell the product to the end consumer. They store the product. They help manufacturer, you see, in giving information back. They deliver stocks to the retailer. They finance and pay for the product. They merchandise the product. They pack, grade, brand. Go ahead, you know, with all this. They do the sales promotional work for the product. They do product servicing. They take risk, as I've already talked about here. They give marketing information both ways. Okay. Obviously, they are bearing risk. So they bear risk. and they continuously go and try to find out which are the new outlets, which are the new retailers which they can probably give their business to, you know. And what is the role of a retailer? A retailer is the last middleman in this machinery of distribution. And he is responsible to satisfy the recurrent wants, needs of the consumer. Now, what do they do? Retailer, you know, two things they probably do. Everybody does two things, and let's look at the two things that they do. One, buying for consumer. So what do they do is, they anticipate what could be the wants of the consumer. They understand and probably, you know, go about stocking the product. They finance for the product, right? They go and give product guarantees, because if I buy from him, I will go and talk to him only as a consumer. Sometimes they even help in repairs and maintenance, you know. And probably what do they do for the manufacturer? You know, they are seller for the manufacturer. They probably, you know, go and finance, you know, store the product, give feedback. And they, everyone, every channel partner, I feel, play both dual roles, you know, giving information, giving money, giving order to from where they get the product. Similar, then they get the product, sort the product, store the product in their warehouses, transport the product to the next level, and finance, pay payment. Then when they go ahead, take the order from them, give the product to them, sell to them, give service to them, take payment from them, give payment out. So lot of things, you know, that is done everywhere. Dear friends, as marketing people, we need to understand one thing, that one of the major role that every marketing person needs to do and needs to take is, you know what, is to manage a channel conflict. Now, what is a channel conflict? See, if there are so many intermediaries in between, there is bound to have some kind of conflicts as we move ahead. Now, what is channel conflict? Even when the company has a very effective distribution set up in the market, then also there is a possibility of some conflict between the channel members or between the company and the channel members. This is normally due to conflicting business interest. Now, there are three kinds of channel conflict which we probably talk about. You know, one is called as vertical channel conflict. Now, what is vertical channel conflict? It relates to the conflict between different level within the same channel, which means the conflict between the wholesaler and the retailer, the conflict between the agent and the wholesaler, the conflict between the agent and the retailer. Normally agent retailer nahi hota, agent between the wholesaler, wholesaler between the retailer. Normally, you know, it's the second level. So in the same channel, you have a conflict between two different channel partners. It is called as vertical channel conflict. The second one is horizontal channel conflict. Now, what does this mean? This means it's a conflict between members at the same level of distribution channel, which means what, you know, price cutting between retailers in the same market. I spoke about that Apple does not allow any retailer to cut down their prices, because then there's unnecessary, unhealthy competition among the two different people, retailers. And that's a problem. So horizontal channel conflict. So, you know, maybe one retailer complains to the wholesaler or complains to the company saying that, what is it? You do not have any policy. You see, you have given us the trade discount. We have bought it at this rate. And, you know, your ex-retailer is selling the MRP of the product is 10 rupees. One is selling at 9 rupees and they're selling at 8 rupees. What's this, you know? So there could be this horizontal channel conflict. And then the last one is multi-channel conflict. What is multi-channel conflict? Here the company selects two or more channels to sell its product in the same market. For an example, like I said, the company makes direct supplies to wholesaler as well as also makes direct supplies to key retailers in the same market. the wholesaler is hurt, since this arrangement affects his sale in the market. Imagine, dear, I have given my product to wholesaler. Wholesaler is supposed to sell to the retailer. Retailer sells to the consumer. So I have given to the wholesaler, given him an area and said, you sell. No, there could be one retailer who is a big retailer. He directly contacts me and tells me that, you know, I am going to buy so many things, such volume. What is the rate that you will give? Now, I think that if I directly sell, the margin of 10% or so what I'm giving to the wholesaler, I can pass it on to him. So what I could do is I could directly sell to him. Now, that's the problem, right? So wholesaler will feel, oh my God, you have made a wholesaler. You have made me a wholesaler in this area and you go and sell in the same market and directly to the retailer. What is this, Saab? So here there's a conflict. And you know, salespeople, one of the major work or responsibility of a salespeople are to manage this sales conflict. You know, they have to manage this sales conflict. Very, very important. And what are the causes? Therefore, one could be conflicting objective. Two, one guy says, I want extra discount. Give me extra discount. He's not giving, so push extra discount. Unethical practices. I told you, right? Unethical practices. Cut and sell. Sometimes bypass the area distributor of this example I gave you, that I don't give it to the distributor, I directly go and sell. Sometimes the wholesalers start selling competitive product. Now most of the big companies have this policy decision that if you are my wholesaler, you are supposed to sell only my product, my brand. You cannot sell of competitive brands. But then sometimes if the sales are down or such and the competitor comes to that wholesaler, he buys and he starts selling. Now selling competitor product is a very, now the company takes hold of that and says, this is not possible, you can't do that. So this could be a conflict because he has taken competitor product. And if I then say, ki dear, you had so big an area and you are not doing too good in that area, we want more sales in that area, and therefore what we do is we divide the area into two and put another distributor or wholesaler in that area, and he will cater also in that area. So what happens is you have reduced the area of operation, and this is a cause of conflict. We need to understand this clause and we need to manage these channel conflict. Now channel conflict can be managed by one, regular communication between the company, the distributor, the dealer. Very important, because if you are able to do that, I'm sure, dear, you know, because communication always minimizes channel conflict, and we need to therefore communicate and we need to therefore be in line with all of them. Second, we need to align goal of the company with those of channel member. If company wants ABC sales, company wants 20% increase in sales every year, the goals of the channel partner also has to be such. See, if the goals of channel partner are not there and the goals of the company is also there, so it's a conflicting goal. Because if I want to sell more, I am doing everything to sell more, you as a distributor also have to stock more. Because if you don't stock more, you buy only items at a certain price, certain time, you know, various things, you're not able to stock more. We lose an opportunity cost. And therefore, that's not acceptable. So we need to understand that. Dealer councils. So there could be some dealer councils which are there, which comes in between to help people. And we could also, if there is any type of conflict, we could also do some kind of arbitration and mediation and solve the conflicts among ourselves. So we could do that, dear friends. Now, what are the direct? Now, I also said, dear, that we will understand that what are the direct marketing methods which are there, you know. We need to understand that, dear. So direct marketing methods are in-home selling. You know that in-home selling. Telemarketing, teleselling. E-marketing, that's there today. Mail order, you order by mail and you get stock. Direct response marketing. Commission marketing. And you know, automatic vending machines there. So if you look at, there are so many direct marketing methods which are available. Now, what are the advantages of direct marketing? Dear friends, very simply, direct marketing can focus the marketing efforts effectively in terms of selling to the select target markets. You know whom you are going to sell. So you have a very predefined target market, and what you do is you directly address the way you would like to address, in whatever form you would like to address directly that target audience. Two, marketeer can contact prospects directly rather than wait for them to come to the store. So we reach them very, very, very good. You know, when it comes to direct marketing, it gives great convenience to customers for making purchases. Yeah, direct marketing is so many, you know, e-marketing you do, you're at home. What you do is you just see all the things on the e-marketing web and you go and order something, it's delivered to your house. It's a lower cost way of doing business rather than retail store, because many a time we can probably, you see, get or save on the cost of the middleman. It needs less capital, therefore, to do business. What are the disadvantages? Every coin has got two sides, so everything which has got advantage would also have some kind of challenges or disadvantage. Conventional retailers are not looked upon by suspicion by prospects. But dear, they do have suspicion towards direct marketeers and the claims that they make. Is it not? The marketeer therefore has to be well known and established to remove that fear so that people can directly order from you. They are very, very suspicious. But today, with cash on delivery, that fear slowly has moved out, and people say, no problem, when I get the stock I will see and then I'll pay. So they don't mind placing that order for a direct marketer. Two, direct marketing, in-home selling, telemarketing affects consumer privacy. Why? Because, you know, the data is available. Most of the time we get the data from somewhere. They go on calling you, they go on sending you mail, they probably use an email or a WhatsApp or an SMS marketing, and obviously your data is available everywhere. So this is basically, you know, something which is a challenge when it comes to consumer privacy. Third, expect for direct to home marketing, goods cannot be inspected prior to purchase. Now, that's a major disadvantage, you know, major disadvantage. Four, in absence of personal inspection, marketeer has to offer liberal return facilities. Now, that's, you know, they say you look at it in 7 days time or 6 days time or 3 days time, you could probably return back the stock if it is not available. But whereas when it comes to a retail and you go normally, you know, this is not there, because you're checking the stock. And then, for an example, in a sale period, you know, they may say that there is no return stocks which we'll take. Fifth, in-home selling through Salesforce is costly. It's obviously costly. So if you look at the last part now, we go get into the last part, which is physical distribution. Last part of this chapter. The objective of physical distribution is to deliver the right goods to the right customer at the right time and at the right place. Now, that's what is important. And physical distribution, friends, therefore, involves management, which means you need to have good planning, you need to have great action, and you need to have a control of the physical flow of A, raw material, because you need raw material to manufacture the products. Two, finished goods, finished products from the points of purchase or origin to the point of use or consumption, so that the customer's needs are met, and that also should lead to some profit. And therefore, dear, physical distribution covers all the activities that is done to see that the flow of goods are proper between the producer and the consumer. And what are the components of physical distribution? dear friends, distribution, planning, these are all wheels, one, two, you know, these are all interrelated, interconnected here. Your order processing, your receiving the stock, your inventory management, your inbound stock, your outbound moving, packaging of the product, warehousing, inventories, dispatch of goods, outbound transport, getting to the customer service. All of these are interrelated. So there are various components of physical distribution. And therefore, dear friend, physical distribution is what is called as a total system approach is actually practiced. What is total system approach? The total system concept, dear friends, of physical distribution is inevitable, let me tell you. Because different components of physical distribution, such as transporting the stock, storing the stock, warehousing the stock, managing inventories, order processing, you know, order taking, financing, you see, getting everything that you need to do, dear, you need to constantly interact with one another. You cannot do it without communication, constantly interact with one another, because they are interdependent, and hence their costs are naturally very, very closely interrelated. Dear friend, many a time one action or one function that we do in any physical distribution chain subsidizes the another, and therefore the total system approach means total efficiency approach, and therefore a total cost approach. So you need to integrate all of them together, integrate the machinery together, so that the wheel moves together in unison and we have a total cost approach. Dear friends, what is the importance of physical distribution management? One, cost is going on increasing. See, everywhere the cost is going on increasing. Two, broader scope of marketing. We get broader scope of marketing because we could probably go and make products available as many places as possible. And because there are great distributors, and because they are trained, motivated, inspired, and having doing their own business, we therefore go in what we call as the sales generating power we get, you know, because they go and obviously sell to the next level. We also have to understand that physical distribution management is very important with rising competitive demand. So we need to understand that, and management science has to be practiced, and has to be practiced in a great way. So marketeers need to tighten the chain up to the consumer. So supplier supplies raw material to the factory, factory produces the goods and stores it in their own warehouse. From there, they probably get the order through the sales guy, sells the stock to the distributor. Distributor probably sorts out the product that they want. Inventory control management they do, keep the products in the right way, transport the product to the retailer. Retailer also does the same thing, understands whether they are getting a good return on investment, and therefore passes on to the customer. And the customer ultimately goes ahead and benefits through just-in-time availability. Now, what is just-in-time? It's available when you require it. It's a Japanese concept. I'll talk to you about it. Now, what are the decision areas, therefore, in a physical distribution? Order processing. You need to have great order processing. Inventory controls you need to have. And therefore, let's look at one by one, what is this? You need to have great order processing capability. You take the order, you see that the order is processed in the right way. You see that if you are doing through a computer, you know that whether you have the necessary software, whether you know what are the inventories which are available. If there is an inventory or a product which is not there, does it automatically go to the back order, or does it be there? Because if it goes to the back order, when the stock comes in, the back order flashes and you can send the stock up to the wholesaler or to the retailer. Therefore, dear, we need to have a great process of order processing, and because it helps the total cost, and this is a cost graph, as we can see that it helps, you know, if you look at it, it goes to the semicircle. Inventory management, I've already spoken about here, because inventory management is the heart of physical distribution system. Dear friends, managerial decisions need to be taken regarding the size, regarding the location, regarding the handling, and regarding the transportation of products or goods, services. Inventories assume unique significance in physical distribution system, dear. And therefore, we need to control this inventory in the right way. There are so many tools which are available today, and with technology coming in, with software coming in, this has become a boon to every marketeer. And therefore, inventory control aims at the following triple objectives, I say. One, never run out of stock, which means you always have stocks available to give if there is a demand. Three, never build up large inventories, because having too much of anything on hand, unwanted stock, is actually a cost to the company, and inventories bears a cost. And Japanese say that inventories are cost of all evil, and therefore we should work on just-in-time inventory. Whenever we require the product, we have the product there. Just-in-time, JIT, is a famous Japanese concept. And the third thing is, never send out too many small orders for more. You know, some people have that, no, we will sell orders only if you have an item, three item order, or and or the order value is more than 5,000 rupees. So minimum order value has to be 5,000. So dear, what are you doing? You are actually not sending too many small orders, because order processing is a cost, because inventories are a cost, because you know the people who are doing is a cost, capacity utilization, so many things are there, dear. So we need to understand that this is very important. And therefore, standards in inventory control. One, you should know what is the maximum inventory that you should keep at one point in time. What is the minimum inventory that we need to keep? What is that ordering point where you need to order, so that you do not run out of stock, and you therefore probably, with the demand of that product, you could probably have a standard order procedure. For an example, if you are keeping a 1 month inventory of ABC product, you should have the economic order quantity, and the moment that order value comes to that level, you give the next order, provided you know that the lead time to get the order is 1 month. If it's more than 1 month, obviously you will have to give an order much ahead. So you need to have that planning, and inventory control is very, very important, because as I said, dear friend, that just in time inventory is very important, because inventory are causes of all evil, and inventory actually ties up your cash in product. If you cannot if you cannot sell and get the money, your money is blocked. And therefore, JIT, just in time concept of production and inventory control, originated in Japan and is being adapted all over the world. Here a buyer buys a small quantity just in time for using the production, and then produces the right quantity just in time to supply or to see that the demands are met. Dear friends, by buying in small quantities and keeping low level of stocks of parts and finished goods, a marketeer can secure remarkable cost saving. But, a word of caution, we need to understand, aisa nahi hai that you keep your inventory so low that you have an order and you lose on the opportunity cost because you're not able to sell them. So please see that that has to be taken into consideration. Third point, warehousing system. See, warehouse involves more than storage, sir. Warehouse performs many of the usual functions today which the wholesaler does. For an example, you know, when you get stock, big stock you get, you break that up into smaller units, dispatch smaller consignment to the retailer, hold the stock for the retailer, regulate the goods flow to the retailers, provide market intelligence and many other merchandising services of manufacturer. And therefore, a full service warehouse, we call it, is called a distribution center, because you do so many things, sir. So many things. A warehouse is just not a warehouse, you know. It does so many things. Therefore, every firm, ladies and gentlemen, requires a certain number of warehouses. Without that, you can't function. So therefore, to offer a desired level of customer service, we need to understand that all warehouses should perform this function in the right way. However, it has also to minimize the total physical distribution cost. Because the energy, I go on making warehouses, I go on keeping inventories, and inventories bears a cost. I have good warehouses, but my inventory are killing. So I need to make a balance between all of them, dear. The fourth point, the packaging and the material handling system. The dimension of the package, you should know, must ensure efficient use of containerization. You know, containers, you know, you see that containers, we give the stock and we probably sell the stock from one place to another, and we say we want one container of stock, you know. Higher cubic footage will increase warehousing cost. So you need to understand what is the right warehouse dimensions that we require. So we need to understand the packaging and the material handling system, the modern mechanized handling services and protective packaging of products have improved the level of customer service and at the same time lowered the distribution cost. So packaging and material handling system has become very important. You're seeing one by one how these parameters help reduce total cost. Transport system. You do so many, research on which is the right route. Your PERT, PRT is called as PERT, CPM, you know, so many scientific technique. And how can you reduce your cost when you sell the stock from one product to another or from a warehouse, and transportation of inventory constitute the core of distribution, and transportation therefore is the crux of physical distribution, because wherever you are moving the stock from one intermediary to another or to the end consumer, we require to have transportation, and that is very important. We have five means of transportation today. We can use railway, we can transport by road, we can use sea route, waterway, we can use plane, airplanes, and we also use pipelines. So these are the things which we need to do so that we see that the goods are delivered to the consumer speedily at the right time when they require it. So the theme of distribution is that the whole business is built on values, and the speed and customer satisfaction and customer delight is derived from speedy production and distribution of products and services at an affordable price. So we need to distribute it speedily, and we need to see that it is there when the consumer wants it. To summarize, dear, what we learned in this chapter is we looked at one of the most important P, like other P's, that is place, and place is distribution. We looked at what is distribution, we looked at what are channel, we look at what are channel partners, we look at who are the intermediaries, we looked at different levels of distribution, we looked at how inventories and how different parameters are and affect the system. Dear friend, I hope you have enjoyed it. Please take good care of your health. God bless you, and I love you all. Stay tuned with me. Thank you very much, dear. Good day.